Welcome back to Aware. Hi, this is Lisa Garr, and joining me is a very, very special friend and guest on the Aware show. Doreen Virtue is joining me. She's a doctor of psychology and best-selling author of over 22 books. She's been in this field for a very long time. And she had in her former life, she founded and directed two all-women psychiatric hospitals. And now she has been helping people find the spiritual voice inside of them, which she calls your angels. Oh, welcome to the show. Thanks again for being with us, Doreen.
Thank you, Lisa. It's great to be with you again.
Oh, yeah, as always. So I remember the last time, well, it wasn't the last time you were on, but you were on with us before the last elections, and that was good, you know, 4 years ago.
Right.
And you talked to us about what you had seen in the headlines of one of the newspapers after the election had happened.
Psychically, yeah.
It was very interesting. Yes, psychically. And it was a very telling conversation because a lot of what you had said came to fruition. And we could never have predicted the outcome of the last fiasco that we went through for the month after the election actually happened. Do you think that anything like that is going to happen now that a lot of people's guard is up about it?
No, I don't think that that's going to happen. I actually believe that what George Bush came in to do, he served a purpose, and that was to wake us up out of a collective apathy that we'd fallen into. Hmm. Not everyone, but a lot of people were blasé about politics and what was going on. And George Bush came in to be so outrageous as to wake us all up and help us to get to the polls and to make our voices heard. And so we're going to see in this election a record voter turnout for women, for minorities, for people who feel like they've got to get out there and make a stand. And we're hoping for young people, too.
Yes, it's true. I definitely agree with you. There is going to be an outpouring at the polls.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very empowering to know that you have shown up and been in that situation. And if you haven't registered yet, no problem. Just go to any one of the markets around you, and there's all sorts of people registering you to vote. I don't think that's a problem to sign up with one of those people. Or go to your local post office or something, because the voter pamphlets are out now. I have mine to find out where your polling place is and so forth. Now, you have been, you know, with us through this entire term of this president, and have talked before about this, what we were looking towards in this particular presidential term, and all the events that have happened in this last term. What do you think that we can take away from this last term that we've seen with this presidency, and how it has actually changed us as spiritual beings?
Well, I actually think someday we may be able to look back on it and just laugh at ourselves and how comical it all is. But here's, you know, there's been corruption in government probably going back soon after its inception. And here America was founded on Masonic principles to have high values and honesty, et cetera. We were getting away from the UK, where there was, you know, an unfair taxation there. Came over here, thought we would do better, and now we're right back where we started. And the corruption in government in this administration has been so apparent that you'd have to be blind not to see the way that, you know, the foreign policy is all about oil and the connections to Bush. And so it's so apparent that it's helped us, I think, to get in touch with that inner voice that we call the truth detector, that in the past I think we've not trusted. We've had this thought, well, we're being lied to, but, oh, that's okay, or what could I do about it as an individual, one citizen? And really, it's been so exaggerated with the Bush administration that you can't ignore it. It's made us all just, depending on how you deal with this sort of thing, you either take action or you get upset and angry or depressed. And we have now an opportunity with the election to take action. And if someone thinks that their voice doesn't count, they're really mistaken. And they're really going to miss out on it. I think it's actually going to be a party. I think it's going to be one of those experiences akin to a harmonic concordance where everyone gets out there and experiences this energy shift that's going to be so blissful. And the angels also tell me something, Lisa, that I think is very interesting, and that is that George W. Bush has lost the fire and that clear, crystal clear intention to be elected that he had in the last election. He's done what he came to do. He got Saddam Hussein, he pleased his father, he got the oil cronies, their deals in the Middle East, and now he's kind of burnt out on it. He really, he would like to be elected, but he doesn't have the burning desire that it takes to make any goal happen. Whereas John Kerry's very crystal clear. He wants this, and this is going to be a case of we see that crystal clear intentions, ours and John Kerry's, will create that as a reality.
I wonder when the last time was that we had a four-year president, because that's something that I'm sure the information's out there, but I just don't know it. It's not something that's happened, at least in the last two presidents I can remember.
No, it hasn't. But this is the first time that we've had a president act this blatantly out of integrity, too, in our face.
And
the media
has
turned against him, too. We haven't seen that to this degree.
I saw that in the first debates, where the questions from the PBS anchor were so penetrating about, what do you think George Bush has done wrong, and why do you think the war in Iraq was a mistake? And the way that the questions were posed were, I hadn't heard any other commentary about this, but they were very slanted.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's made a lot of enemies. And what's a shame is how divisive the country's become. I mean, it's almost become like a Super Bowl contest. And that's not what we need. We need unity right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm praying after the election that we can heal all of that and
division.
Really come together for a collective voice.
Yeah, that is a very good point, because elections do put you in that place of win, lose, division, ego, competition, and that's not where healing begins.
Exactly. And, this is an opportunity for all of us to build the government that was the its intention of Francis Bacon and Benjamin Franklin and these wonderful Freemasons whose symbols still are in the back of our dollar bill, that it's one nation under God. And that oneness, we can't lose sight of that. We can't go pointing fingers at people who've got George Bush bumper stickers and call them the bad guys, because that's really not what the whole spirit of America is about. One of the things I'm going to be talking about at the Goddess Temple of Orange County on November 1st, we're going to hold a free public prayer vigil, just praying that the whole electoral process is for the highest good and that honesty prevails, that what the populace votes for actually registers in the results of the election, because there's a lot of distrust about that right now. And one of the things we're going to be talking about is that on the seal of California is the goddess Athena. It's kind of something we don't talk about too much, but the original Freemasons brought over this goddess, this Greek goddess named Athena, who's the goddess of wisdom and strength and really brings in that feminine energy. West Virginia also has Athena on their state flag, and she's also called Minerva in some spiritual circles. But Athena, we're going to be calling on her the evening of November 1st as we go into the election day and really asking, no matter what our religious or spiritual beliefs are, it doesn't hurt to pray and to call on help to oversee the whole process, to pray that everyone is guided to vote for the candidate with the most integrity and who will bring about the most world peace, since this president has such a wide-reaching effect on foreign relations.
I love the fact that the intention, though, is to have a fair and just, honest election.
That's the thing that we need to pray for most,
mm-hmm.
more than praying for, gee, I hope my candidate wins.
Right.
With the electoral process and with that real funky thing that happened in Florida 4 years ago, I think most of us are aware that George Bush's brother probably had something to do with that. We have to pray that the light has more power than this darkness of dishonesty that is there in the electoral process. And we have to trust that this power that we call the light or God or goodness really will take care of us as a people and really wants Earth to be peaceful.
And also that the prayers of the positive expectations of the new president or of the next presidential term is that healing can really begin and occur in the countries that we've invaded and in our own country and in our own current political situations and so forth here,
exactly.
That healing can begin.
Well, I think that this is another reminder, Lisa, for all of us to hold a positive vision. because we know from so many scientific studies and it's basic metaphysics that our thoughts have such an effect on everything in our reality, and that's globally and personally, that if we, you know, we're just coming up on the election, we're right there, it's so much, it's so important for all of us to visualize peace on earth, visualize a government with integrity that does listen to the people, visualize people having the courage to speak up and say what they want. I mean, there's been almost a witch hunt these past 4 years from the Bush administration that if you're not for me, you're against me. If you're not pro-Bush, you're pro-terrorism. All this sort of kind of undercurrent of blackmail that has made a lot of us afraid of speaking up real loud. And fortunately, we still have the privacy of the voting poll, unlike some countries where, you know, they watch you. What I wish we did have, I just got back from Australia. In Australia, they have mandatory voting. You actually get fined a large sum of money if you don't vote. And while that sounds controlling, it makes sure that everybody's voice is heard in Australia. And I think that we as a country can maybe learn from that and get out there with this privilege we have to vote. And you can do an absentee ballot if you have to work that day or you'll be too busy to get to the polls. But gosh, we're just really, really hoping, especially the listeners of your show, who are such intelligent people who really are the ones who've got their heart open for peace, each and every one of us will go to the polls on November 2nd.
It's interesting because there are a lot of other countries who are going to be watching our election as well that feel that they will be impacted by the results of this election. And we're seeing other countries voting for the first time ever.
Exactly. I travel around the world, as you know, for my living. You know, I give workshops worldwide, and it's been something since the Iraq War took over. When I landed in Greece right after the Iraq War began, there was red spray-painted signs all over Greece that said, "Killers, go home." And I asked the cab driver, "Who are they talking about?" And he said, "You Americans." And I thought, oh my gosh, get me out of here. I felt real unsafe. And my husband and I, you know, we almost felt like we had to hide the fact that we were Americans that trip because there was such hostility against us. And they would ask us continuously, "Lisa, how come you Americans don't control your president?
Mm-hmm.
Why did you let him start this war?" And I thought, you know, didn't you see the news of all of us protesting? We did our best. And they said, "Well, you should have done more."
Yeah.
You know, and when I traveled to the United Kingdom, where Tony Blair seems to be metaphorically in bed with George Bush, they're frustrated over there. And then I go to Australia, where they have John Howard, who has sent troops, Australian troops, to Iraq, and they feel like he also is in bed with Bush. It's like a Bermuda Triangle in the world. It's this corruption, and it's really old guard energy that is just, done. We're done with it.
Yes.
And in Australia, of course, they just had an election. And so it's just really all of our countries are so linked together that it's a very small world.
Yeah, it is. And it's getting smaller because of the international attention that is being focused on us, especially since we've, you know, invaded other countries. And, of course, there is a focus on us. But I think that if people get to know enough about the American people wanting this type of truth, and if they see that there's a result from this election where we can start to infuse those types of wishes and efforts into other countries, then it would prove that we are all on the same page and we all want world peace.
It will. It'll make us, people will forgive us, too, because I want to tell you that, I know you travel, too, that I read the newspapers all around the world, and our so-called free press here in America is anything but. If when I read the same story in different newspapers around the world, as we all can do if we go on the internet, of course, the slant here in America is so stilted and so in a bubble that it's like we don't consider other countries and how we affect them.
Yeah.
When overseas newspapers, there's such a blatant anti-Bush flavor that also, unfortunately, spills over to an anti-American flavor that we've really lost faith in the world. There's this real belief that we're bullies now in other countries, that we're just going to countries where we can take oil and put other countries in danger for our own selfish needs. That's what they think about us.
Well, it's interesting. In your book, the latest book that you have out called Angel Medicine, you explain a message which kind of has to do with this theme of voting and standing up for yourself. And it, you were talking about reclaiming our own personal manifestation and healing powers in ourselves, which has tended to maybe get lost because we don't feel that our voice is powerful enough in this country.
Exactly. Well, that goes to organized religion, and that if we look at historical records, there's been this persecution of the individual voice that goes out and tries to empower people. Going way back, pre-Jewish history even, going back to the Egyptians, Sumerians, and the Babylonians fighting. And then after the inception of Judaic thought, then the Egyptians went after them. And then, of course, Christianity came in, and that was a whole other story of persecution over the pagans. And it's just been a worldwide history of if you have a thought that's different, authority figures go after you. And what it seems like it's made as a result is that we've kind of become over-compliant, and we've given away our power. And when I give workshops, so many people tell me that they had no idea that they could talk directly to God. I mean, basic things like this, or that they could talk directly to their particular ascended master, whether it's Jesus or Buddha or Kuan Yin. And we have given away our power to heal, to medicine, and forgotten the fact that for centuries, we used prayer. We used things in nature to heal, and we're just starting to reclaim that now. I think 99% of my teaching work that I do is helping people to learn to trust themselves. Just, you know, trust their guts, trust their feelings. They have brilliant ideas, a lot of my students, for new businesses or that they'd like to change their life, and then they get into self-doubt and don't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, the presidential election is right in that same category, trusting that you have the power, just like all of these great heroes. I don't know about you, but my heroes are these outspoken individuals like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who saw wrongdoing, that there was, you know, African-Americans being put in the back of the bus. So he, on his own, orchestrated a bus boycott and got all the people in the city to start walking or carpooling, and single-handedly got the bus companies to change. And from there, just kind of step by step, affected more and more people. And all of us can start with baby steps like Dr. Martin Luther King did. And one individual can make a huge difference.
As long as you have faith in yourself that you have, and as you say, you know, this information, this energy is available to everyone. It's not exclusive to people like maybe you who can, you know, hear spirits and so forth. But this information is available to everyone who wants to access it. And some access it more than others because of, you know, exercising the muscle, I should say, of interpretation. But it's available to everyone. It's just a matter of trusting yourself and letting go.
Do you ever read to your little girl any of the Dr. Seuss books, or did you read them when you were a kid?
Yeah, I was reading. She likes Green Eggs and Ham.
Oh, that's such a cute one. And one of my favorites when I was growing up, and I used to read it to my kids when they were little, is called Horton Hears a Who. Where, I don't know if you remember it, but there's this dandelion that Horton, the elephant, was going to eat. He picked it and he was going to eat. And he didn't know that on the dandelion, it was a whole world with little beans on it. And the little beans were screaming at him so he could hear, so Horton wouldn't eat the dandelion. And he couldn't hear, and he couldn't hear. And they found one little teeny baby who wasn't screaming. And the populace of the dandelion, it convinced the little baby to add his little voice to the scream, collective scream. And just that one little baby screaming puts a voice over the edge so Horton could hear that there was people on this teeny little planet, and he didn't eat it. And it reminds me of the election, that you could be the one person that pushes it over the edge, the 100th monkey, that brings in this new light, just poised to envelope and bring us all into the golden age.
That's a great analogy. It's a great visual. Mm-hmm. Yes, and especially for anything else that you believe in, if you're trying to change a position at your job, if you're trying to change the way that your family thinks about you.
Or the school lunches that they
have.
Oh,
yes.
Yep.
That is very true. And the pesticides and the chemicals in the schools these days, it's a very, very good point of how the parents and teachers can make a huge ruckus to change those types of chemicals that are in our schools these days that are inhibiting learning.
School board administrators have told me that if parents will come in with the Ross Perot type of charts, remember Ross Perot and his charts?
Oh, yeah.
That if enough parents would come in with those charts, the school board will yield to them.
Yeah, or you can start small and start in your own school, your own child's school, which I've seen in various schools around the valley, at least. They have big signs outside saying we are a, I think it's food-friendly school, or there's a certain word around it. Yeah,
and this is such the time for starting new projects. The energy is just totally supportive right now. And if you don't try it, you won't know if it's going to work.
Hmm. Yes, this is very true. This is very true. Well, you know what? We've run out of time. We spent this great time talking.
Oh, it's always good to talk to you, Lisa.
You too.
So awesome.
I can talk to you forever. We can just keep chatting.
But I do want to ask folks if they would join us November 1st at 8 p.m. is when we're holding a prayer vigil at the Orange County Goddess Temple. The website for that is goddesstempleoforangecounty.com. If you'd like to join us, it's a small temple. It's free. You can just show up. It starts at 8. Or we're asking people just to pray wherever you are. Just join us with this positive vision that we're going to have an election that is fair and is just.
And that healing is beginning.
Exactly.
Well, it is in process. Okay. And also you can find out about any of Doreen Virtue's books at angeltherapy.com. Thank you again, Doreen. It's a pleasure speaking
with you.
Give
your daughter a hug for me.
I will. She still has the you told me that she loved unicorns,
yeah.
And she's got room full of unicorns now.
Good.
She loves them.
The
All right, Doreen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And that's it for me this afternoon. I think that we have run a little bit over, but while I want to thank everybody who helps with the Aware Show, and while I'm committed to bringing you the clearest information possible in the end, I always encourage you to listen to your own truth. Until next time, I invite you to stay aware.